The chief purpose of scientific training is to find truth. And whenever you find truth, you find the science. Ye shall know truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time once again for Amy's Kids Show. And I am super excited to come back in here to finally finish celebrating, to do the grand finale. That's what it's called, a grand finale. That means a grand, a big, wonderful, amazing ending to our long celebration of, do you remember who? Who have we been celebrating for the past 3 weeks now? George Washington Carver. And I could keep celebrating George Washington Carver the rest of my life. And that's kind of what I plan to do. But here on Amy's Kids Show, we are going to come to the conclusion of the book that we have been reading called The Story of George Washington Carver by Eva Moore. And we have been going chapter by chapter and learning about George. What an amazing man he was, right? And we're going to learn so much more about him again today, because I just learned new things in the past week even. Wow. And, you know, it's got me thinking, you know, like, what's in a name, right? I mean, George started with just one name when he was a boy, George. And then he went on to George Carver and then George Washington Carver. But he had other names, too. He started as the plant doctor. Later on, he was called the Wizard of Tuskegee. He was eventually an official doctor, Dr. Carver. He was part of the Royal Society. There were statues made about him. He got a medal from the president. Did you know that? We're about to find out about that today. He got a medal from the president. His art was shown in the State Fair's art show. I mean, this guy, it was amazing the things that he could do, right? But I still feel like the title that I chose for this series is perfect. I still think it is. And the title is George Loves Roses. Because I think that is the most important part about George Washington Carver. He did not discriminate. But you know what? He was a scientist. And scientists are all about discriminating, telling one thing from another and breaking them apart so they can see the different pieces, to tease things apart and tell the difference, which he was really great at too. So we have a word like discriminate, right? So what's in a name? I don't know. We're going to tease things apart. Think like scientists today. Think like scientists who are like George, my favorite kind of scientist, who loves roses and loves nature. Remember what George said. What was he doing to the roses? He was loving them. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome! You guys killed it.
Boom!
No, higher, higher.
Here's another nice little song you can help me on. All you have to do is sing a little, kind of a counter melody. Sing ho-dee-ink-dum, you do it over and over. Sing ho-dee-ink-dum. Sweet potatoes, sweet potatoes. Soon as we all cook sweet potatoes, eat them right straight up. Soon as supper's at, mommy hollers. Soon as supper's at, mommy hollers, got to go to bed. Soon we touch our head to the pillow. Soon we touch our head to the pillow, go to sleep right smart. Soon's the rooster crow in the morning. Soon's the rooster crow in the morning, got to wake right up. Soon's the school bus stops on the highway. Soon's the school bus stops on the highway, got to go to school. Soon's the school bell rings in the afternoon. Soon's the school bell rings in the afternoon, then we go right home. Soon as we all cook sweet potatoes. Soon as we all cook sweet potatoes, eat them right straight up.
Above and the ocean below. Now I may be a little bigger than you, but as you grow, you'll get bigger too. Think about a great big tree that started out as a tiny little seed. It needed the sun to help it grow. Now little seeds, not little anymore. A tree, this pear, that frog, my hair. These are all things that grow. And hey, it's true, you're growing too. These are all things that grow. Think about a butterfly. He used to be a little caterpillar guy. Spent 7 days in a little cocoon. Now we can watch him fly around the room. This cat, your ears, that corn, my beard. These are all things that grow. And hey, it's true, you're growing too. These are all things that grow. Think of all the things that grow. in the sky above and the ocean below. Now I may be a little bigger than you, but as you grow, you'll get bigger too. Your tongue, this beat, that duck, my feet, these are all things that grow. Just wait and see.
Peanut butter in the cup. Sing and dance along.
Peanut butter in a cup. We sing the song to pump us up. Bang, bang, choo-choo train. Come on, Bridget, do your thing.
I can't.
Why not? I just can't.
Why not?
My back is aching. The sun's too bright. My hips are popping from left to right. From the left to the right. From the left to the right.
To the left.
Just can't.
Why not?
My back is aching, this light's too bright. My hips are popping from left to right.
To the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left.
We are coming together now for the last chapter and a half of The Story of George Washington Carver by Eva Moore. And I just want to let you know the music in the background behind me while I'm reading is called Waltz of the Flowers. And I've been picking songs not only that I like, but songs I think George Washington Carver would like. And so I picked some of my favorites here. I like the roses. I like the daffodils, right? Because he did not discriminate between flowers. Well, let me clarify. Discriminate. The word discriminate is so confusing. And discrimination. And we're going to talk about that today. Because it has two meanings. Two meanings, right? And one of them George did a lot of. And the other one he did not. And that's why I'm celebrating him, because of those two qualities, right, that he had. He did not discriminate against flowers. That means he did not judge them unfairly, right? He did not say roses are better than wildflowers, right? He loved wildflowers just as much as roses. And so he did not discriminate. He did not treat anybody or anything unfairly. In fact, I think he shared a quality with me, which is he celebrated everything, no matter what, right? Even problems. And on the other hand, he faced a lot of discrimination. That was not fair, right? On the other hand, the other meaning of the word discriminate, is to tell the difference between two things, right? To be able to tell that a daffodil is different from a rose, is different from a wildflower. And then he spent a lot of time discriminating what those things would need to grow, right? They needed different things to grow. Roses need different things than wildflowers and different things from daffodils. That's why they grow in different places. They like different things. And he spent his whole life studying that, right? And what the differences were and why? So he could make lots of money? So he could become famous? No. No, he did all of that for the best reason of all. Because he loved them. Yeah, he loved them. All right, so here we go. The last chapter and a half. Every day, George Carver walked from his rooms to his new laboratory. There were young men to help him with his work, but he liked to work alone most of the time. Sometimes people came to Tuskegee just to see Dr. Carver working in his laboratory. He did not like to be stared at, but he was too polite to tell the people to go away. In 1936, when George Washington Carver was 72 years old, Tuskegee held a celebration for him. It was his anniversary. He had been at Tuskegee for 40 years. An artist was hired to make a statue of Dr. Carver for the celebration. Dr. Carver did not like so much fuss. "I'm not ready to be a monument," he said. Dr. Carver had done everything he could to help his people, and that was what was important to him. Dr. Carver had done more than help poor black farmers begin to have a better life. Because of his experiments, farming all over the South had changed. More and more farmers were planting peanut crops instead of cotton. Peanuts became the sixth largest crop grown in the United States, and they still are to this day. Well, this is when this book was written. I'm not sure if it's still true right now. Even cotton farmers were raising better cotton plants thanks to George Washington Carver's experiments in growing cotton. And we know that means finding out what cotton loves and needs to grow, right? Now, there were new uses for cotton, too. Dr. Carver had found a way to use cotton as a kind of cushion in road pavement and for wall boards that could be used instead of wood for building walls in houses. Dr. Carver used chemistry to make new products out of plants. Today, scientists use chemistry to make synthetics, products such as plastic and nylon. George Washington Carver was one of the first scientists to experiment with synthetics and to see how important they would be. He made a new kind of stone, a synthetic marble, out of wood shavings, and he made other synthetic products no one had thought of. When Dr. Carver was 74 years old, he became very sick. He thought he could cure himself by eating nothing but nature's food. Wild lettuce, clover tops, dandelions, watercress, and other wild plants. He had loved to eat all his life. But even when he was better, Dr. Carver was still too weak to walk far, and he moved to rooms closer to his work.
Get protects me. Hard work. I'm a snail and it's hard work. I'm a snail and it's hard work. It may be heavy, but it protects me. It may be heavy, but it protects me. Gonna go from flower to flower to flower. Gonna take
even though Dr. Carver was 74 years old and he was too weak to walk far, and he had moved to rooms closer to his laboratory so he could keep working. That's a hard worker. All right. Dr. Carver was working on plans for a museum that was going to be made at Tuskegee, the George Washington Carver Museum. There would be room in the museum for all the paintings he had done, all the lace work he had made. There would be samples of the paints he had made from clay and of the products he had made from the sweet potato and the peanut. While he was working on plans for the museum, Dr. Carver was invited to New York City. By who? By the President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt. At a special dinner for George Washington Carver, the president gave him a medal. He thanked Dr. Carver for doing so much for his people, for science, and for the country. Chapter 19, and I think this is really interesting, in this book, the picture, there are pictures in this book that, of course, I can't show you on the radio, but the picture above chapter 19, what do you think it would be after Dr. Carver's whole life, all of his achievements? Do you think it's a picture of that medal that he got from the president? No, it's a picture of a mat that Dr. Carver crocheted and then embroidered. If anybody knows what that is, that's working with needles, right? And yarn and thread. Wow. And it's beautiful, of course. Chapter 19. 2 years later, in 1941, the George Washington Carver Museum was opened. People from all over the United States and from Europe came to see it. They were surprised when they came into the room full of paintings and lace work. They knew Dr. Carver was a great scientist, but they didn't know he was an artist, too. All the paintings Dr. Carver had done when he went to art school were there. Pictures of roses, of pond lilies, of wild orchids growing on a fence. And there were other pictures done with paints Dr. Carver had made from Alabama clay. He had painted them during the years he had been at Tuskegee. One of the most beautiful things in the museum was not a painting. Dr. Carver had put together, oh, this is so beautiful because I really want to see these. Dr. Carver had put together all the little wood shapes he had whittled when he was a boy. There were over 1,000 of them, and he had joined them all together without glue or string or nails to make a design. This design was put into a picture frame and hung in the museum. Every time Dr. Carver looked at it, he remembered the years when he was a little boy. How long ago they were. How much had changed since then. How much had changed because of him. George Washington Carver died early in the morning of January 5th, 1943. He was 79 years old. He had lived his life to help others, and that is the best a person can do.
My first name is George. Tell me your first name. My first name is, you fill it in. My first name is, my first name is, tell me your middle name. I don't have a middle name. I don't have a middle name. I don't have a middle name. Tell me your middle name. My middle name is Louise. My middle name is Louise. My middle name is Louise. Tell me your last name. My last name is Gordon. My last name is Gordon. My last name is Gordon. Tell me your last name. My last name is Morales. My last name is Morales. My last name is Morales. Tell me your last name. My last name is, my last name is, my last name is, that is my last name. My last name is, my last name is, my last name is, that is my last name. Children, this is a song about jobs. I like for you to think about people that have jobs that you know, but we're going to mention a few jobs. I would like for you to join in, and then I will tell you the type of job it is, and I'll say that by myself, and then there will be a part where it says all day long, and you join in on that. Let me just start it. I got a job as an engineer.
I got a job as an engineer.
I got a job as an engineer. I build bridges all day long. I got a job as a butler.
I got a job as a butler.
I got a job as a butler. I'm polite all day long. I got a job as a plumber.
I got a job as a plumber.
I got a job as a plumber. I fix pipes all day long. I got a job as a nurse.
I got a job as a nurse.
I got a job as a nurse. I help patients all day long. I got a job as a baker.
I got a job as a baker.
I got a job as a baker. I make bread all day long. I got a job as a teacher.
I got a job as a teacher.
I got a job as a teacher. My students learn all day long. I got a job as a singer.
I got a job as a singer.
I got a job as a singer. I go la 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 all day long. I got a job as a coal miner.
I got a job as a coal miner.
I got a job as a coal miner. I dig and dig and dig
all day long.
I got a job as a crossing guard.
I got a job as a crossing guard.
Got a job as a crossing guard. I help children
all day long.
Well, folks, we are celebrating George Washington Carver today. We are celebrating his name and all the names he was called over time, including Wizard of Tuskegee and the Plant Doctor. Got a medal from the president, all kinds of things, right? But we are also celebrating all the jobs he had, every single one of them, because I think that's what he would do, right? He did not discriminate against different kinds of jobs. He did not treat different jobs unfairly, right? He was willing to accept any kind of job. And along the way, That's how he learned all the things he needed to learn so that he could finally achieve his dream, which was to be a scientist, to have a laboratory. But little did he know that he was going to have his students build the building from make the bricks and everything and then go around and find the equipment here, there, and everywhere. But he knew how to take things that were problems and turn them into solutions because he did not discriminate against them, right? He did not discriminate against the red clay that was all around that probably made his farming pretty difficult. It's hard to grow things in red clay, but he found out he could use it for paint, right? So he did not discriminate against different kinds of jobs. He did not treat them unfairly. He was willing to do jobs that even usually just girls would do, right? So he did not treat things unfairly, and at the same time, he was really good at discriminating. Ooh, now what do I mean by that? That's another meaning of the word discriminating. And, well, it's sort of the same meaning in a way. To discriminate between two things is to know the difference, right? To really see and understand the actual difference between these two things, right? And so that's important. We have to be able to discriminate between two things to tell them apart, right? And understand what each one needs, why they're different. But we have to know the truth about those differences or we're going to be very, very disappointed and misled. And when people treat things and people unfairly, it's because they're not seeing the actual differences. They're treating people unfairly. So I have an example, right? So one of the jobs... I have an example of a word that means two things, right? And one of the jobs that George Washington Carver had, it turns out, that I didn't even know about, right? He had all kinds of jobs. One of those jobs was being a robber. Being a robber? I had never heard of that before, someone being a robber. Well, it turns out we don't use that word anymore to describe this job. Really, he would do massage for people who were athletes, right? People on the football team. He was captain of the football team, and he would give the people rub downs, they call them, right? Or, you know, athletes, before they go out on the field, their muscles need to be warmed up a little bit. So someone will usually take some oil and put it on their hands and rub their muscles for them. It helps them warm up so that they can do more running and stuff and not get hurt. Well, Dr. Carver discovered a lot of things from that job that helped him later as a scientist. It had to do with the oil that he was using, right, to put on his hands so that he could slide them over the athlete's muscles and help stretch them out for them. That oil got him thinking. Wow. So good thing he had that job, right? Because it actually helped him later on. Good thing he did not discriminate against having that job. But once he was there, he started to learn to discriminate the difference between different oils and what they were made of. I am so excited to present to you right now this story told by Dr. George Washington Carver himself. This is his actual voice explaining his job as a rubber, which, you know, you probably think of other things that word means, right? It means rubber is like a stretchy material made out of the rubber tree plant. Rubbers are things you put on over your shoes so they don't get wet, right? There are other meanings for that word. All right, so here we go. George Washington Carver and his experience as a rubber. He did all kinds of jobs. He's so cool.
College at Ames, Iowa, I had charge of a football squad and a running squad. I was the professional rubber in those days. We called them rubbers. We call them masseurs now because it's more dignified and sounds better. But we called them rubbers. work with oils, I felt that we did not know enough about the efficacy of oils in the art of healing, so I started out to find, as far as possible, the value of some of these oils, so that in using these oils and liniments and pastes and powders and so forth, there seemed to be something lacking. When I came to Tuskegee, I had a chance of studying it further.
Dr. Carver, do you consider yourself a chemist?
We have to be very careful lest the ego comes in. A person that can bake a reasonably good cake or a reasonably good pan of biscuit can't go out and put up a shingle and say that they are good cooks. But they simply use the kettle or pan as a means to carry out the end. So I simply use the chemical laboratory to find certain things that I'm looking for. A laboratory is simply a place where we tear things to pieces. Sometimes we can get them together again if we want to put them together, and sometimes we can't. But nevertheless, we can pull things to pieces and get the truth that we are searching for. We can at least find out of what certain things are made, and which gives us information to do other things with. Sometimes it is wise not to look for too much appreciation. The main thing is to be sure you're right and go ahead, regardless of whether people appreciate it or whether they don't, because in time they will appreciate it. So simply be sure that you are on the right road.
Dr. Carver, what is your standard by which you judge success or failure in life? That's a question that any young person would ask you.
Well, that is a question that can't very well be answered by yes and no. I should say the chief purpose of scientific training is to find truth. And whenever you find truth, you find the science. Ye shall know truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is nothing more destructive to development than ignorance. And ignorance is simply, I don't know.
So wasn't that cool, guys? That was Dr. George Washington Carver's actual voice, right? Explaining, what is science? What is chemistry? It's breaking things apart and seeing what's there, right? That's to discriminate, right? But you have to be careful when you do that, right? That you're not looking at it just from your own personal point of view. You know, how can this thing make me rich? How can this thing make me famous, make me popular, what I'm going to find out? No, because that will cloud our vision, right? We have to see it without our ego, is what Dr. George Washington Carver says, without me, without eye disease in the way. So now he's going to use a homonym, which is one of my favorite things, right? A word that has two meanings. Eye disease, that means seeing things only from your own point of view.
I should say this, that the further anyone gets away from themselves, the greater will be their success in life. You can't get very far in life if you don't get away from self. You know, self is a little bit of a thing. That little word, I, terrible eye disease, one of the worst eye diseases that was ever known. And then, too, a question naturally comes in, how can I be sure that I'm on the right road? I should simply say this, that in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now you must learn to look to him for direction and then follow, and you'll never go wrong.
This basset hound.
Here, like H-E-R-E means in this place.
Like I stand here and you stand there, so you don't drool in my face.
Ew. You're like Y-O-U-R means it belongs to you.
It's mine. Your breath is kind of funky, dog. Want some gum to chew?
You. You're like U apostrophe R-E is a contraction of U and R.
You're not just a smelly basset hound, you're also a pogo star.
Your mind blown, cause I'm about to rap about the homophone. Quick, get up out of your pajama show. We're about to get woke to the homophone.
Come on. Homophones are different meaning words that sound exactly the same.
Precisely.
Why is the English language so insane?
That's crazy. It's like ITS with no apostrophe means belonging to a thing.
Like quick, give that baby robot its robot teething ring.
It's like it apostrophe S. It's a contraction of it and is or has.
Like that baby robot only goes to sleep if it's listening to jazz.
Why like BY identifies who did something.
That's right. Like this entire song was written by some baby robots that sing.
Bye, like BYE is a way to say farewell.
Goodbye. Like bye, baby robot. See you later. Watch out for that stairwell.
Yay.
You right there?
They're like T-H-E-I-R means it belongs to them. They're like T-H-E-R-E means it is in that place.
Right.
They're like they apostrophe R-E is the contraction of they and R.
Their UFOs are over there and they're all playing space guitar.
Two like
T-O expresses motion in a direction. Two like T-W-O is referring to the number. Two spelled T-double-O means to an excessively high degree.
That's different.
I'm going to the vet with my two friends, cause my chinchilla has too many fleas.
Too many.
No, you're about to get your mind blown, cause I'm about to rap about the homophones. Quick, get that llama a blueberry scone, cause he dropped mad info on the homophone.
Homophones are different meaning words that sound exactly the same.
Exactly.
Now your homophonous knowledge will get some critical acclaim.
Hey, homophonous.
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 This is a tune called Trouble in Mind by Richard M. Jones. Richard M. Jones was a band leader in and around Chicago. He grew up in New Orleans, but did most of his stuff right in this great city, Chicago. And I'm glad to be here with Ella Jenkins while we do Trouble in Mind.
Trouble in mind, I'm blue. But I won't be blue always, cause the sun's gonna shine in my back door someday. Trouble in mind, I'm so blue. But I won't be blue always, cause the sun's gonna shine in my back doors someday. Let's hear you, Irwin.
We have concluded for now our celebration of George Washington Carver, Dr. George Washington Carver, the Wizard of Tuskegee, the Plant Doctor. He had all kinds of other nicknames over time, and he won all kinds of awards, got medals, oh my goodness, statues built about, you know, built of him. He was an amazing guy, and I am had so much fun here celebrating with you guys, George Washington Carver, and reading the story by Eva Moore. And I think one of the most amazing parts of his story, right, is not only did he achieve all these amazing things on one side, right, but he faced all this discrimination, too. Discrimination, I mean, wow, he was born a slave, right? And then he was, you know, had a stuttering voice. His voice stuttered, right? And he had a high-pitched voice. And he didn't like to wear fancy business suits. And he did jobs girls would do and things. I mean, he faced all kinds of discrimination. He couldn't go to the college he wanted, right? They kicked him out. He couldn't eat lunch with his friends once he did go to college. He couldn't go in the park to love the flowers. You remember that part where the police officer tells him to leave? Get out of here, the police officer says. You're not allowed in here. Right? Well, that's unfair discrimination, right?
That's totally unfair. But what did George say when that happened? He said, they don't understand. The police officer doesn't understand, right? The president of the college doesn't understand. And that's the problem with discrimination. And that's why it still happens today. There are still students who have not been allowed here in Vermont to eat with their friends, to be with their friends, to go to school with their friends. This happens still. But the problem is that when people are enforcing unfair rules, they don't know it. They're not using proper discrimination, right? In the right way, the way a real scientist like George Washington Carver does. To not see unfairly, but see clearly. To not let your personal feelings get in the way. But listen, look, see what those ants are doing. See why they're doing it. See what they need. Because when you look with love, right, when you put your cheek against that rose the way that George did when he was little, and you love them, right, then you're going to see clearly if we approach every situation with love. Well, I don't know what else to say. George, you're my hero. Thank you for joining me for Amy's Kids Show. You guys are heroes, too. You're the greatest.
Walking that mile, I wanna walk.